Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Psychic Medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy Sunday evening to tune into another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined with Joel and Michael, and we're just going to talk about whatever. I think we're going to hit up vaccines a little bit and maybe delve into the world of paranormal and whatever makes our hearts content. Hey, Joel and Michael, what is happening?
Well, not a hell of a lot. How about you?
Doing okay. You know, my life has been really difficult lately. I've spent the last 2 weeks doing nothing but playing video games, which is life is difficult. You know, my
poor
work
bastard.
Besides didn't need me. I know. It's really I'm traumatized. I'm so startled right now. It's terrible. But not doing much. What's going on with you guys?
You know, I know that feeling all too well because I'm one of those guys that just. I work from home, so it's like, oh, Lord, I got to roll over to go to work. You know, I'm like, my computer's right there. I just go over, hit the button, and that's it. Yeah,
so different.
It's good to have stuff to do here at the house because, you know, when you're spending literally you're in it all day, every day.
What about you, Michael? What's going on with you?
Well, I don't work anymore. I had most people know, I guess, from my seat, listen to our show, but some don't. I had surgery back in September and had to have a leg amputated above the knee. It was infected, and it had to go, so it went. And then I did the rehab thing for that for a couple of months. And so now what I'm basically doing a paranormal research and working on my PhD.
Yeah, very cool.
So that's kind of what I'm doing.
Do you got yourself a bionic leg or anything?
No. They had to take it above the knee, and above the knee prosthetics are tricky. It's a possibility, but it's very slim. It's just because of the mechanics of it, of the way the body works, the angles are different, and so. I don't know. I'm not upset. I was in a wheelchair before, so it's not like I lost a lot that way, but I don't have to worry about the infection and the stuff like that and the pain from it, so I'm better off that way, so I'm all right.
That's good. Well, yeah, nothing going on. You know, we were going to touch a little bit on the vaccine thing. Is that if anybody listens to this show, they know I am not a big fan of the COVID nor the flu vaccine. Although I'm not an anti-vaxxer, I've had many vaccines without even a sore arm, but I just kind of am holding off on the vaccines despite being an essential worker. Or was an essential worker. Who knows what's going to happen if I'm going to have employment. But I kind of turned down to kind of see things have panned out. And so one of the news stories I saw lately was hundreds of reactions coming from Florida, most of them mild. But one that was highlighted, which I thought was interesting, and let me also preface this by saying, I understand when you vaccinate millions of people, you're going to have reactions. I mean, you could give any kind of substance, inert substance to a group of people and somebody's body's not going to like it. So I get that. But the reaction I thought was interesting, so I thought I'd briefly mention that. one of the individuals that had the vaccine in Florida had the typical, you know, low grade fever, sore arm kind of thing, no big deal. The second day, it was after a second vaccine, he was having severe pain in his arm to where he was unable to use his arm. But the most interesting thing that he experienced was he then started hallucinating, basically tripping balls like they injected him with mushrooms. And I thought that that was interesting. I believe he ended up being okay, but like he started tripping from the vaccine, which different. I didn't know. Maybe it'll become a street drug now or something. What do y'all think about that?
That would have been interesting. It would have been interesting to see if the guy had a how high his fever was. Because I do know, I woke up everyone in my family one time with a really high-grade fever, barricading our windows to fight off the giant spiders that were coming.
Yeah, so, if you get a high enough fever, you know, if you get a high enough fever, you can hallucinate. So it may be the fever, if it was febrile, then the fever may have caused it. Yeah, the fever may have caused it. It may have been like a secondary effect instead of a primary effect. I know that it's for the vaccines, like for the flu shot. And we use the flu as a sort of a guideline here just for giggles and shits, because there's no more widespread vaccine every year than the flu, because it's given to millions of people. Pretty much everybody gets a flu vaccine, you know, more or less. The main serious reactions for the flu shot are anaphylaxis, which is a reaction that causes your throat to swell shut, which is deadly. You know, you have to have epinephrine to counteract that. And the other one is Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is another effect of it. But actually, the statistics for that are like, as far as anaphylaxis given for the flu, there's like 183 cases per year in the U.S. For around 140 million vaccines. So that's like a fatality rate of between 0.25 to 0.33% on average, which is very, very low. Not that it's, if you're one of the ones that, of course, have anaphylaxis, the number's not low. It's like being, you know, hit by lightning. When you're in some big been struck, the numbers don't mean much. But, you know, the numbers for that are low. Now, I know the COVID vaccine had, there were a number of deaths actually attributed to the side effects of the vaccine in Norway. They had like 23 in one spot, but that was in a nursing home, and those people were all 80 years of age and over, and they were already immunocompromised. So the side effects that they got, the flu symptoms, the fevers, and the and things like that, did them in, pretty much did them in. It wasn't like the vaccine killed them. It was more of a side effect of a vaccine on an already compromised system because of their advanced age. And I hate to say this, there's no way to say this, it does sound a little bit cold, but if they had caught COVID, they probably wouldn't have died. And if the vaccine, because of the side effects, because of their advanced age, they didn't have much chance. You know, they were already sort of so close, and they even said that they need to reevaluate the criteria for people like that, because if you're in a setting where you're isolated and you haven't got the vaccine, if you vaccinate enough people that can withstand the vaccine where the side effects won't be detrimental, then eventually you'll get enough people around those people that they may not catch it. Because some people like that, that are very old and frail, the side effects of the vaccine, the fever and the chills and whatever the other stuff is enough to do them in because they've already got bad immune systems. Their kidneys are not great. You know, they may have other heart issues. They may have all kinds of things. And when you put that much stress on an old body, you know, that's kind of what happens. And it's sad to say that. And you feel bad for those people and their families, certainly. But the fact is that they were compromised to start with. It's not like they gave the vaccine to somebody that was 20 years old and they dropped dead. That didn't happen like that. It wasn't like the vaccine was a direct cause of the death. It was a secondary cause from the side effects on an already compromised immune system. And that's a different thing. You're going to have that in any population when you get elderly people or people that are, even if they're younger, but if they're younger and compromised, you know, somebody say that has a bad cardiac history or a bad lung history or, you know, anything chronic like that, you know, the side effects for those people could be worse. So you have to figure that in. So, you know, sadly, there are going to be some people with more adverse reactions than other people, and some of those people are probably going to die. And that's sad. And we're not making light of it, but that's just, you know, that when you have a widespread inoculation with a vaccine, that's kind of what happened.
I don't like the fact that it's essentially experimental. Oh, and to digress, I just Googled fevers because that didn't occur to me about fevers causing hallucinations. I had a fever of 103 once, and I wasn't hallucinating. But it says if you have a fever between 103 and 106, it can cause hallucinations and confusion.
Yeah,
that was like
104,
105.
Because you're basically cooking the fluid out of your brain. Because your brain sits inside your skull and it's encased in fluid. You know, if you get dry, if the fever's high and you're there and you're baking your brain inside your skull, you know, you can have all kind of brain issues over a long period. It'll kill you. A high fever.
What's the highest fever you guys have had?
The highest I ever had was 102.
Mine, I can't remember if it was 104 or 105 now. But it was Yeah.
But even at 102,
like I was talking
though,
to you before we came out there, my mom, my mom was an RN. She was a nurse. And, yeah, when she comes out and she's like, what's he doing? And I'd actually woke my little brother up first, and she said, he's like, he's barricading the windows because there are giant spiders trying to attack us. She's like, oh, he needs to go to the hospital. Because, you know, she instantly, I was in my late teens, and yeah, instantly she realized that. She's like, oh, crap, he needs to go to the hospital. Because, yeah, I'm sitting there going, don't you see it crawling over the car? It's right in there.
That must
have
been
eight-legged freak. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I was living that movie at the moment.
It sounds kind of fun, actually.
you know, thinking, well, I laughed my ass off about it, looking back at it. I mean, because I was fine, you know. The fever broke. I thought, you know, and, I'm good. But now I just laugh my ass off about it. It's funny. The night I was barricading windows to fight giant tarantulas.
Well, you know, the vaccine, and you're right about the fact that the vaccine, as you say, is experimental is probably not exactly the right word, because it has been tested. Of course, it was tested before it was okay, but, I mean, every company that's made a vaccine, and all the companies have different, probably different slightly different vaccines as far as their makeup. They're not all chemically the same. You know what I mean? Because like Pfizer made one and Lilly made one and AstraZeneca or somebody else made one and somebody in the UK made one. You know, you get all these different pharmaceutical companies. They're all going to use a slightly different chemical makeup depending on who's building it. You know, it may have some things in common, but some of the things may be slightly different as far as percentage-wise. And some one vaccine may be a little better than the other. Not that they don't all work, because they have to be. They have to. Once they're tested, they have to show that they can that they'll work on a certain percentage of cases, or they won't be approved. You know, I mean, you're not gonna hand out a vaccine to somebody and pay a gajillion dollars for a vaccine to come out if it's only gonna actually work on some goofy ass number like 10% of the population. You know, it's got to be a high enough percentage of people that it actually proves that it works. You know, and so there's that. And each vaccine may have slightly different side effects. Like one of the major side effects is injection site redness, you know, and pain and flu-like symptoms. And so you may have to take a Tylenol or an Advil or something, just like you would if you got a flu shot. The biggest problem right now with the vaccine is the fact that there's no plan in place to get the damn thing out to people. It don't matter how many doses you've got if you can't get it to where it's got to go.
Yeah,
and it's got to go out. You know, and there are storage, like I said, there are storage requirements. It has to be kept at a certain temperature. And it probably, I don't mean, I'm not an immunologist or anything like that and don't claim to be one, but it probably has a shelf life. Both medications, like, have a shelf life. You know, you have to get it where it's got to go within a certain amount of time, or it's not going to work. So it'll become inactive. So you have to get that done. And right now, you know, like if you want to go get a flu shot, you go to your CVS or your Rite Aid or whatever your drug store you have is, you know, and they have nurses there that give flu shots. But with COVID right now, like, we have CVS here and Walgreens. They don't have it. They don't have the COVID vaccine yet. The only people that have had it here are far enough.
Right now, it's still way too regulated.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, they didn't have a plan in place to distribute the vaccine. And they knew the vaccine was coming. So they knew everybody's uncle was working on the damn thing. Every pharmaceutical company in the world, and anybody that was worth a damn, was working on the vaccine, and they knew that. They should have had a plan in place to distribute those to the end user as quickly as was humanly possible, and they didn't have that. And that's a fact.
So one of the new developments is, you know, we have the Pfizer, Moderna, BioNTech, and all that, but Johnson & Johnson has just completed their trials, and theirs does not need to be frozen, from what I remember, and it also can be administered in one shot. So they're saying that's a great thing for convenience to get one shot. Now, the ingredients for Pfizer and the BioNTech one, I have them in front of me, which is interesting, and the big controversy is surrounding the mRNA, which is also known as the messenger ribonucleic acid, which is the only active ingredient in the vaccine, and it basically contains genetic material that provides instructions for our bodies on how to make a viral protein, and it triggers an immune response within our bodies. And this immune response is what causes our bodies to make antibodies needed to protect us from the coronavirus. But I think the reactions probably have nothing to do with the mRNA. It has to do with all the non-active ingredients, one of which is lipids, which is a bunch of things, including cholesterol and a bunch of really long names, and various salts consisting of potassium chloride, monobasic potassium phosphate, sodium chloride, and some sugars, basically table salt, And so I think they're all kind of based along those ingredients. And I guess some people just have reactions to that, but I'm going to stick with my guns and hold off on getting mine. You know, who knows? This could be an Agenda 66 or whatever that was, population reduction.
You know, anything's possible.
The COVID's doing a good enough job of reducing that population by itself. We don't need people thinking about the vaccine too.
Me and Michael have both actually talked about that. The COVID, that actual virus, it doesn't act like a normal virus. Like, I've never in my life heard of a virus. Now, granted, I am not a doctor and I do not play one on TV, but I've never heard of a virus that actually has a blood type, a certain blood type that is less likely to catch it. And if they do catch it, it is less severe. I've never heard of a virus that has blood type that does that. COVID does.
And from what I recall, it's blood type O is the one you want if you have COVID.
I got that.
Which
I'm
is
good.
What I have.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm good.
And I can say from experience, I had it in January of last year. Well, at that time, they really didn't know they didn't know what it was. They just told me I had an unknown upper respiratory illness. And I matched the symptoms. They gave me Mucinex because they thought it sounded like I had something in my lungs. I'm like, well, I've smoked for 25 years. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've got stuff in my lungs. And, they told me to buy a NyQuil when I wanted to sleep and DayQuil when I needed to go to work. And they sent me on my merry way. That was it. You know, because they had no clue what any of this was. My boss got it. She was a hell of a lot sicker than I was, even to a point of coughing so much she broke her ribs.
I've heard of people doing that, not often, but I know that happens.
Mm-hmm. She literally, she was sick. She was bad with it. I was not nearly as bad as her. And it didn't take me as long to get over it as it took her. You know, everybody where I worked at that time, I was like Santa Claus. I was, or Oprah. I was running in there and like, you get COVID and you get COVID. Because, again, no one had a clue what was going on. No one had, it was not this, pandemic at the time. Like I said, I went to the doctor, which tells you exactly the last time I went to a doctor before that, I was literally dying. So, that tells you how often it is I go to doctors. But this, I'm looking at it going, I'm sick. I need to go to a doctor. So I went to a doctor. They test me for the flu. They test me for strep throat. They test me for bronchitis. We don't know what it is. And that was it. And like I said, they just sent me back on my merry way.
I think that the panic is interesting because anytime now if you cough in public or you're around somebody that's coughing or sneezing or even has a headache, then suddenly we're all freaked out about COVID. My girlfriend's been coughing and having an upper respiratory infection, and I thought for sure it was COVID. Of course, it's not. And now if you sneeze in public or cough in public, then people are going to give you the dirty eye. And and the other thing I noticed recently is I've spent some time up in a casino in an adjacent state to where I'm at. And because these reservations apparently don't have to follow the rules and regulations from the governor, so you go to these casinos and, they take your temperature at the door and they put some partitions up on the slot machines. But looking around, I was really looking around at the people playing machines. And, there's people with masks that are just covering their mouths. And I just wanted to say something so bad, like, are you really that lazy or stupid that you don't know how to put a mask on? I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People in grocery stores where they're not, it's just covering their mouth, and I just want to confront them, but I guess I don't want a confrontation.
Well, you know, that's something when the mask laws and all that, or not really, they're not laws, but they're, you know, ordinances and that, when they really started coming into effect, I was working at a gas station. And to get people to put on masks, I mean, it was a fight. We're not talking like, you know, this, hey, you have to wear a mask. We had signs up. This is after, I live in the state of Kentucky, and this was after our governor had put an ordinance in place that everyone entering a place of business had to wear a mask. So we had big signs up. Due to Kentucky ordinance, blah, 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 a picture of a mask, you must wear a mask to enter. You know, and I would stop people. I had just like we're talking like the whole shift. You're fighting people over and over and over, and they would get pissed. Well, how do you know I don't have a pre-existing condition? All you got to do is say you have a pre-existing condition. But of course, let's ignore the fact that the actual ordinance said if you have a condition that makes you high risk for COVID, stay home. And remember, I mean, you know, if you're at a grocery store in this, that's kind of understandable. But nobody needed their natty lights, their cigarettes, and their lottery tickets. That is not a life essential thing. Granted, like I said, I've smoked since I was 14 years old. So me without cigarettes, it might be life essential to the people around me because I get in a horrible, horrible mood. But it's not, I'm not going to die without them. You know, as my ex-wife put it one time when I decided to quit, she actually brings me money, hands it to me, and I'm like, what? She's like, go get a pack of cigarettes. I like you better when you smoke. So that's how it is with me. But this was just what they would buy was crucial.
I don't buy this pre-existing condition thing. I'm sorry. I understand people have COPD and stuff like that. But the medical community has the data on the effects of wearing masks, even N95, and how it relates to oxygen levels, and it's not appreciable. There's not an appreciable difference. I think people are totally abusing, oh, I have a medical condition, or you know, just because they don't want to wear a stinking mask. COVID's real. I know people that have had COVID and were sick. And getting the vaccine maybe one thing, but whether you're getting it or not, wear your mask and wear it appropriately.
Well, that's just the thing, you know. And that's the things that I would say, like, to the people, you know. There's like, how hard is it? I would wear my shift at that store was between 10 and 12 hours. I worked, that was it. That was my minimum. My minimum shift was 10 hours. My longest shift one time was like 18 something. You know, so yeah, I mean, and if I'm able to wear a mask for this whole freaking time, you can wear a damn mask 2 minutes. You know, it's like you said, there is actually no evidence of anything that says you're even if you have a diminished lung capacity, that a mask is going to affect your oxygen intake level enough to hurt you. You know,
yeah.
And these workers, like you, I'm sure you probably had a mask on from the time you go to work, and this was even before any kind of virus.
Sometimes you know, I wear two. And I'm horribly not in shape, probably not getting enough oxygen. And, I'm all for masks, and everybody should wear them. Don't be dicks and not wear a mask, or it's, you know, we all need to be wearing
that
masks. At the very least.
Absolutely, you know, I agree with that. And that was one of the funniest things that when I was working there. This guy comes in, and like I told you, I was like, we got signs all over the store because we were actually ordered by corporate since it was we could be fined, we could be closed if we did not follow this rule. We were told by corporate, if you weren't wearing a mask, you didn't get that, you couldn't be rung out. We wouldn't activate a gas pump for you. We wouldn't do crap. you know, if you came in, what it did not matter. Well, I stopped this guy and I was like, you know, excuse me, sir, you've got to be wearing a mask, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, I'm doing the spiel. And he looks at me and he goes, well, I'm from Ohio, so I ain't got to wear a mask. Fuck you. And I looked at him like, well, Toto, do you not remember crossing the giant bridge? You ain't in Ohio anymore. You're in Kentucky, and Kentucky says you got to wear a damn mask. You know, it's like, you like I say, when I say you're actually arguing and fighting with people, you're literally arguing and fighting with people over this.
This is why we have so many infections in the United States. People are morons.
Yeah. And that was actually one of the funny ones. Because I was always, like you said, you know, I was nuts about disinfecting and cleaning that store. Like, I would constantly, and I didn't use this cheap-ass spray crap that they had to clean it. I would get, like, the industrial strength stuff. I would clean the hand, the card reader and all that with hand sanitizer. This was before COVID. This was because I lived in, or I worked at what was called at that time the ghetto store. You know, it was that was what people called it because we had a high population of homeless people, to be totally honest. We had actually two guys that lived behind our store. Not as in a house, there was a gully between the street behind our store and the store, and they lived in the gully. So I have sold people 34 cents worth of gas when gas was like $2.50 something a gallon here.
I feel bad if I get $5 of gas.
Right. And this guy, he bought 34 cents. So it's like, but this person, oh, this was right after the pandemic. I was like, you know, they're like, oh, it's so great that you're cleaning everything and you're being cautious about COVID. I was like, COVID? I'm not worried about COVID. Like, have you seen the people walk through this door? I'm worried about them. Like, this thing is like, you know, the gonorrhea syphilis that probably just flows off of the people that walk through here.
As big somebody that spent 18 years catching shoplifters, do you have any good shoplifting stories from the gas station?
Oh, God. Well, I always, my favorite ones were the people that would look at you and go, I don't have nothing. Well, what's that thing of beef jerky sticking out of your pocket? What beef jerky? Oh, this. I came in with that. It was like, really? You came in with the bag of beef jerky that you didn't know existed until I pointed out to you. Those were some of my favorite. I did have, this is kind of a little bit of a bad story. But I did have a meth addict that would periodically come in, and when she would come, it was the last time she was in there, she thought she was a helicopter. She comes in and literally swinging her arm around in a circle above her head, going chook, 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 like this, and looks at me and goes, "I'm a helicopter." What's that?
You sure she didn't have a fever?
Oh no, this was pure meth. She was well known. A matter of fact, after I had to call the police to come and get her because of other things she was doing, they actually don't even bother to say anything. They just lean in, and I just gave a description. They just lean in the door and go, "We're here for Megan, right?" I'm like, "Yep." That's how well known she was in Lexington, and Lexington is the second biggest city in Kentucky. So yeah, they're. She was well known, but she used to stick stuff inside of cups. That was her big thing. So like she would get stuff and carry it over, and then she would pretend to make a drink and stick stuff in it. But sometimes she didn't pretend to make the drink. She would actually make the drink, and it would have like candy bars inside of the drink.
Well, that's kind of clever, actually.
No, it wasn't too bad. But also, you got to remember, she's not always with it, so, like, she tried to find them occasionally. There was also one time, and it was actually hilarious, that a girl had stuffed a small bag, you know, like the single size bags of Lay's in her pocket. So she comes up and she does bring out some stuff. It's like, you know, just probably $3-4 worth of Little Debbie, not nothing huge. But I look at her and I'm like, "Did you forget anything?" You know, because I see the bag of chips. So that gets her paranoid, and she's trying to hide the bag of chips in her purse. Well, then she proceeds to start to leave, and I was like, "I think you're forgetting something." No, I'm not. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you are. Isn't this your stuff? No, I'm not forgetting nothing. And out the door she goes. For the $1.50 bag of potato chips she stole, she forgot $4 worth of Little Debbie that she actually paid for.
Oh, that's funny.
She actually forgot the stuff she did pay for.
So I take it she never came back for it?
No. No, she totally forgot it existed. Which was fine with me because me and the first shift, I worked third shift, so me and first shift split. Like, you know, she didn't come back. Like, all right. Like, in a, you know, I'm sure she must have had something else in that bag. That's the only thing I can figure. And if she's figuring, oh shit, he saw the chips, and that's had to have been it. She had to have something else in there. I saw her grab those, but I didn't. Because, you know, it's like, you know, when it gets to a point in a freaking, when you're working at the especially that shift, you really get to a point you're just like, whatever. Don't rob the place. I don't care.
Oh,
that was the place, though. That was a very interesting place to work.
I would imagine. I worked at a gas station, but that was so long ago. I don't remember it. I spent 18 years catching shoplifters and employees, so I mean, there's really nothing I haven't seen. I mean, I've caught people that have shoplifted, gone home, and then murdered somebody. I've caught employees stealing cash from slaves. I mean, just every possible scenario I've pretty much seen. I caught one guy who stole a pair of jeans because he crapped his pants and then made him put his crappy pants back on. I mean, just everything imaginable.
Yeah, no, that is the stuff that you only get to see in a gas station. Because, like, one time we were going back and forth. We had put it down to where there was an employee and a employee in a customer bathroom, and we kept on going past the customer bathroom. We're like, it smells like crap, God. So we went in there, we cleaned it, but could not get rid of that damn smell. It had been cleaned like twice. Still, can I get rid of that damn smell? Like, what in the? And I'm like, I bet no. I walk over to the trash can, poke open the lid. Yes, somebody had took a dump inside the trash can. That's like 3 feet from the toilet. And I just wonder what has to go through the person's mind when they walk into a bathroom and go, you know what? I've spent my life crapping in a toilet. I want to see what it's like to go in a trash can. You know, where does that come into the equation in your mental capability?
That's crazy. When I was working at a sporting goods store catching shoplifters, somebody had just dropped a massive on one of
the ocean.
Oh, can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry, that was me.
Oh, my God.
I was about to say a large blue. I just heard a break in of a large blue object falling out of the sky and into the ocean.
Think about a UFO that actually a UFO that crashed into the ocean near Hawaii earlier in the month.
That's funny that you're watching that because I literally looked at that story right before we started the show.
I didn't know it was a video. I thought it was like an article I could read, but it was actually a YouTube video, the news clip.
Yeah, and it was witnessed by a bunch of people, and it looks really weird. If no one's watched it, go look at the video of that UFO in Hawaii that went into the water. Whether it was actual alien craft, I don't know, but really interesting. Speaking of UFOs, we're kind of all over the map as usual, but there have been a lot of sightings lately. Things are kind of ramping up. There was a guy in California on the 101 took some pretty amazing photographs of a UFO recently. I think within the last week, some pretty decent close-ups. And I think the UFO situation's kind of amping up, or people are looking up in the sky more now that the government has declassified a bunch of UFO data and stuff.
Yeah, the declassification has been a big jump.
If you're driving a UFO and you're gonna land somewhere in the ocean, I mean, hell, if I was driving one and I wanted to land, so I'd land off Maui too. Hell, who wants to land somewhere where it's cold as shit? Let's go somewhere warm. You know?
Yeah, you don't see a lot of UFOs going in the northwest where I live. There's apparently a UFO base in the ocean off the coast of Southern California.
I have read and seen some of the stuff about that. But I have to say that up in the part that I was in British Columbia, I was up in extreme northwest British Columbia. I lived there for over 10 years. We had a lot of UFO reports up there. A lot.
Wasn't there a crash off the coast there? Was that in Canada where there were a bunch of people, a couple people on a fishing boat off the coast, and this craft was like melting in midair and showered the boat and the guy with the flag
That's a fairly famous case, and the Men in Black showed up afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Was that Canada?
It was either Canada or or Washington State. I thought it was Canada.
Yeah. I thought so too, but it might have been Washington. That's a crazy story.
The town where I lived, there was actually a reported crash. It's a little town where I was living at. I lived in a town called Kitimat, British Columbia. And there was actually supposedly a crash there. In the 60s. And they actually had... there was originally the report of the crash. People go in to investigate it. And once they get in there, both RCMP and Native, or, you know, they had the Natives and town people all... This was near the Native Reserve that I actually lived on. Went into the woods, that area, to investigate it. All of a sudden, across the radio comes, "Get out of here, get out of here, get out of here now. Go, 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 go." And there's an RCMP officer just absolutely freaking out. He comes running out. Of course, they get everybody out of the woods. They put a perimeter up around it. And when he was actually interviewed, what he said happened was that he put four rounds directly into something, and it didn't stop moving. So he actually had come in contact with something and shot it four times, and it didn't stop whatever it was. By the next morning, the Canadian military had come there and had set up a barricade around the entire area. No one was allowed in or out of it, and there was a sound heard coming from the forest. And basically, one day, the sound, this was like two or three days later, the sound stopped, and you wake up the next morning, the military and everything's gone. So no one knows
exactly.
Hmm?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It sounds kind of X-File-ish in a way, which, by the way, I love the X-File. But, you know, the fact that it sounds kind of X-File-ish in a way that the governments would have a procedure in place for downed UFOs and things to do with EBEs, except Iraq can get a copy of that. So I know that it exists. The protocol for that.
You know, my only thing that I always thought about it was, like I said, Kitimat is a very little town. So me being me, you know, the first thing I did with this was I started asking people, hey, do you remember? And a lot of them looked at me and went, no. It's kind of like, listen, when I lived in Kitimat, this was, like I said, I lived there, well, until about 2 years ago. I lived there for 10 years. The population of that town is less than 10,000. One time it was a little over 9,000. When I moved, it was a little under 8. So if something crashed in the woods around that town, it's going to get a lot of attention. And I knew people that were alive in the time that it happened, and none of them seemed to remember it happening. So, I mean, it was reported that it happened, but like you said, it was a little X-file-y. I did talk to a couple of people that said they did remember the military set up there and didn't know why. But they were younger. So, you know, by the time I'm talking to them, of course, they weren't. But they were in their, you know, childhood teens. And they said they did actually remember the military coming into town there, which, of course, that's something that they would have remembered as well. I mean, that's, you know, kids and, you know, military people come flying in. Yeah, you're going to pay attention to it.
I hadn't heard of that one. I mean, I've heard of a bunch of UFO crashes, but I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, well, like Kitimat doesn't get much attention. There's been two things that's gotten any kind of real publicity. There was a movie actually just made there not too long ago called Monkey Beach, and apparently that was, you know, it was a bit, it got a lot of attention in Canada, and it was featured in a book about a Bigfoot sighting.
Okay, I got one for you just to go along with the UFO thing. You guys, I'm sure you've heard of Majestic 12.
Yeah, that's the council of all those guys. I can't remember all the names of them, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well,
there's a document.
There's a Majestic document. It's extraterrestrial entities and technology recovery and disposal. And it's a Majestic document, right? Top secret, eyes only, Majestic. And it, I'm actually looking at it right now. It talks about.
I heard that it was fake and a fraud. I don't remember the details of it.
Well, now
I've
heard that too, except for the fact that. I don't know if you know who John Leary is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's big in the UFOs.
Yeah. John Lear actually asked Jimmy Doolittle, was a friend of the family. Jimmy Doolittle was a quite famous aviator. And Lear asked Doolittle if Majestic was legit. If it was real. And he said, yeah, and that's all I'm going to say about it. One of the members of Majestic 12, the original group, was Admiral Forstall. Forstall died under somewhat mysterious circumstances falling out of a falling out of a window at the Naval Hospital. Forsall wanted to come out and expose what was going on. He didn't want to keep it all secret. And all of a sudden, like I said, he ended up taking a header. I don't know. I've read a lot of things. And I've seen a lot of documents. The Majestic documents are correct in as much as the structure of the time period, the way they were typed, had a certain format. The typefaces were correct. Of course, people that think they're fake are going to think they're fake, and there's nothing that, you know, you're never going to convince them otherwise. But I've seen too many things that were disseminated that I really can't discount it. You know, I'd have to have some pretty compelling data. But yeah, okay, it's fake. And if you think about all the stuff that's happened since 1947, I mean, you got Roswell. You got the Kenneth Arnold sighting, which was one of the first ones in the modern era, where you saw the craft traveling at outrageous speeds, and all the other UFO flaps that have occurred, and everyone was saying, "Oh no, you didn't see that. It was swamp gas, or it was ball lightning, or it was a meteor, or an asteroid, or some damn thing." And all of a sudden, in the middle of a COVID pandemic, they come out with, "Oh, well, we have technology, not of this earth." It's just right there, just negates 50 years of them lying to the people saying, "Oh, you didn't see a UFO, except that we've got one," which means you saw something. Now, not all those things were what they claimed to be. Some were disidentification. Some were probably military aircraft. Some might have been swamp gas or a weather balloon. Hell, I don't know. But not all of them. Some of those people saw something that were extraterrestrial. And that's borne out by the fact that the government says we have technology that is not from this planet. So, therefore, some of those sightings were legitimate. That's all you can infer from that.
They always say swamp gas and ball lightning. I've never seen either.
I've seen ball lightning, but I've never seen swamp gas. But I've seen ball lightning. But yeah, they were.
So that's,
you know,
that's the kind of thing for everything. They love swamp gas. Swamp gas.
Yeah.
There was actually lights that were sitting off of a train track in North Carolina. And they used to call, and that's exactly what they would say when, like, people would go to see the, they call them Mako lights. And
yeah, I've
when people would go
there,
to see the
right?
Mako lights, they would tell everyone, "Oh, no, there's nothing to see it. It's not anything. It's swamp gas." You're like, "Yeah, swamp gas. All right."
Come on, not everything can be swamp gas.
Well, no, but, you know, weather balloons,
or weather
gas, you know, something like that. That's our favorite go-to thing. Yeah.
Weather balloon with a radar thing. That's why they initially reported a crash disk. Like, are you mean to tell me they went out there initially, identified it as a crash disk and reported it as such, and then suddenly it's a weather balloon? Oh, come on.
No. Well, it kind of looked like a disc, sort of, guess, maybe. You know, I guess, you know, it's just like, you know, they pull shit out of their asses, you know. And then it basically gets down to where it's like, it's a weather balloon. We said it's a weather balloon, and if you want to continue breathing, it was a weather balloon. So it gets down to that, and you're like, okay, it was a weather balloon. I'll be damned.
unless you're going to be mending a radar tower in Alaska by the end of the day, you're going to go off there, we tell you.
Right. You know, you'll get hit by a train, or you'll shoot yourself in the head twice, in the back of the head. You know, the government isn't one you contradict very, very often.
Yeah, a lot of people tend to have accidents with UFOs. Who was that guy? That guy that was on a construction site in, was it New Mexico? Where he found that secret underground alien base, and there was a battle
the Dulce base?
Yeah, Dulce, New Mexico. Yeah, that guy, like, died mysteriously. They found his, like, IV cord or something around his neck, and, you know, he was going around reporting at these conferences about this confrontation with the aliens, and he had his hand blown off by a ray gun or something. I mean, people just tend to drop like flies when you're involved with these fringe experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, mysterious heart attacks and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people associated with, you know, the whole 9/11 thing ended up dying mysteriously.
So that whole thing, I could talk a whole hour on that.
Well, we should do that next time. We should just talk about 9/11.
Well, I mean, I won't even speak, and I won't even speak to the towers. I'll just talk to you about the Pentagon. There was no way that an airplane could fly that low to the ground. At that speed, the wind would pull right off of it. It's impossible.
And they released 3 frames or 5 frames of footage where you can't see anything other than an explosion.
Yeah, where's the airplane?
There's cameras all over there. You mean to tell me you're going to give me 5 frames from the security gate? Come on.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I know better than that.
Yeah, we could definitely go an hour on 9/11. I mean, I'm not a huge conspiracy guy, but there's a few of them. The ones I do actually believe in, I am wholeheartedly, you know, believe in them. Oswald did not shoot Kennedy. That's just, no, it didn't happen. Marilyn Monroe was not a suicide. That was a cover-up because of shit she was getting ready to say. And I firmly believe that the U.S. blew up those buildings on 9/11. That was an inside job, 100%. It was set up. It was planned. And they
did. Think about this. The only collapse in the modern era of a high-rise building due to fire was on 9/11. There was a high-rise, and I forget where, I can look it up and find out for next week. There was a high-rise that burnt for 20-something hours in another country. It was the same kind of a building, steel construction, steel and concrete, you know, modern construction. For 22 hours and never collapsed. So please tell me how did two buildings collapse within an hour of each other, and Building 7 wasn't even structurally damaged, and it collapsed. They pulled it. Somebody detonated it. That was a controlled demolition.
It had some damage on the back face, but there's no reason that should have. Like,
it didn't have enough.
It shouldn't.
And besides that, it takes hours. It takes hours to rig a building to be demolished. You have to place those charges just in the right certain spots. Otherwise, it won't work. It'll lean over and mess up everything else. You have to have it in certain places. It's all mathematical, all the placement of all those charges, so that building will collapse into its own footprint. Building 7 collapsed into its own footprint. It didn't lean over and hit something else. It went straight down. which means they had to either have explosives already in place or they rigged it to blow that day. But why? What was in there they didn't want people to fucking find?
Well, can you guys come on next week? Let's just do a conspiracy hour.
Yeah, I got nothing to do next to me. I'm good.
So let's
That's
do it.
Like
it's one
I
of
told,
my favorites.
Sherry doesn't know. I told her, you know, you got where I'm on the East Coast now versus the West Coast. You all come on, or to come on here, it's like 10 o'clock at night, my time. I'm an insomniac. I don't go to sleep until 12 or 1 anyway. So that 10 o'clock doesn't bother me this way. And I'm also a homebody, so I'm never not home by 10 o'clock. That's just no way. I'm not a late person.
Cool. Yeah, let's continue this next week for sure. I got to wrap it up. I got to make me some tiki marsala. So now, where can people listen to your podcast?
Well, our podcast, The Night Stalker, is available anywhere you want to find a podcast. It's at iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and just about anywhere. You can also find it on Facebook. I've been in the process of trying to change the name of the page for it, but it's The Night Stalker. Night Stalker Podcast Network. You can still find it underneath that. And we do actually wanted to say that, you know, we're kind of starting a little something, just a little bit something to do, kind of help a friend along, help try to get a little more information out on our page. If you do happen to have liked the Night Stalker page, I will also share this one, the Paranormal Horizon page, just to get anybody else. Last week we had, I think it was last, well, no, it may have been Tuesday. Anyway, recently, you guys had, the last time I think I was on, was we had Pete Wren as a guest. It was me, Sherry, and Pete. Pete's also been on the Night Stalker before. He is the writer, the author of a book We Want to Believe. We're going to be giving away a copy of that. I'm going to put something together, and we'll put it up probably later tonight or tomorrow morning. Just follow that, and we'll pick a winner to receive a copy of Pete's book for free. Other than that, that's about it for us.
All right, well, I'm excited about next week. I love the subject. We'll do conspiracy, and with that, we'll bid everybody adieu. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Thank you, guys, and I got to get some dinner. Good night, everyone.